listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents The Story Is Not Over. The reflection by the Reverend Gene Randall Botman, presented on Sunday, March 31st, 2024.
Holy Mystery, risen Christ, sustaining Spirit, make the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts a doorway to you, for surely you are the source and ground of all our living. Amen. I have a small confession to make. The Easter sermon is a funny thing to write ahead of time. I mean to say, Easter is in bright white lights. Every pastor knows the date all year long, every year. It's coming for weeks and months. And yet, it's hard to sit down and write that sermon. In Lent, we ask God to show us the world as it is, in all its horror and beauty and awe. We ask God to help us see the truth of human power and human frailty. Well, that's a hard time to write about Easter. In Holy Week, we pause to imagine Jesus in Jerusalem, teaching in the temple, gathering with his disciples in the upper room to break bread in the meal that we remember together every time we have communion. It's when we remember how Jesus modeled for us how we should be together in the world, when he knelt down at the feet of each disciple and washed their aching, dirty feet, an act of tenderness and humility. It's when we remember his betrayal by Judas, his agonized prayer in the garden, his arrest, trial, and execution on the cross, a form of corporal punishment used widely, but arguably brought to its tortuous pinnacle by the Romans. And then we have the waiting of Holy Saturday, when for the first disciples, the world was hollowed out, where the very air was filled with the absence of Jesus, his voice, his walk, his laughter, his love. Their beloved teacher and friend, in whom they had placed all their hope and trust. Each part of this story is unique to Jesus, and it is also utterly familiar to us. It's familiar from long years of listening to the story over and over again so that it is part of us. And it's also familiar because we too are human. We too have known friendship and camaraderie, loyalty and tenderness. We recognize in this story our own moments of awe and wonder. And we recognize in this story our own lived experiences of doubt and fear and cowardice and occasional nobility. We hear echoes of betrayal and pain and loss that we have either experienced ourselves or witnessed in the world. This most human of stories lived by the human Jesus who is for us the wisdom of God, the human Jesus who is for us the Spirit of God embodied in human life. Jesus, whose human life shows us what a life full of God is like. It's a story that feels too rich to contain, a bit arrogant, really, to interrupt. But for today, I can share what the story means to me this year, and hope that it will invite you to continue reflecting on what it means to you, not in a theoretical way, but in your lived experience of a human life. And I hope it will encourage you to share what it means to you with each other and the other people you love. Here's what the tradition tells us about that first Easter. All four of the canonical Gospels say that Mary Magdalene went early, early in the morning after the Sabbath to the tomb of her beloved Jesus to anoint his body, to keep vigil, and to mourn. In some versions of the story, she was not alone, but in all four of the Gospels, Mary Magdalene was there. And in all four of the Gospels, when she got there, either alone or accompanied, The stone was rolled away. In all four Gospels, the tomb was empty. And here is the core of our faith, that Jesus, a man so filled with the Spirit of God that it overflowed in healing, teaching, and blessing, was killed by the state and by religious leaders cowed into complicity with that state. He was killed for living in a way that challenged human systems of domination, and that the life and love he embodied could not be kept dead, but lived again and lives still. This is the core of our faith, that he was killed and that his life and the love he embodied live still. The other Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, all include in their Easter story resurrection appearances, experiences of the once dead, transformed, and living Jesus present with Mary and the other disciples. The details differ from text to text, but the presence is the same, and the confidence and joy that result from that presence. Here in Mark's version of the story, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome go to Jesus' tomb at the first dawning light. And they're worried. They're worried about how they're ever going to get that huge stone out of the mouth of the tomb so that they can tend to his body, anoint it with the spices that they have brought. They had no idea how they were going to accomplish it. I can only assume that it took a team of people and a crowbar or two. They did not know how they would do it, but they determined that they would, and they went anyway. And when they got there, of course, the stone was already rolled back. As they entered, they saw not the dead body they were expecting, however traumatic that would be, but instead a living person, a young man, a stranger, dressed in a white robe, and they were quite reasonably alarmed at all of it. They had come prepared to grieve and do the work of honoring and tending to the body, and now even that had been taken away from them. The young man quickly reassures them and pointed to the empty place where Jesus's body had been and said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised. So go, tell Peter and the rest of the disciples that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there, just like he told you." I'm not sure that I would have found any of that reassuring. I think I, too, would have been amazed and frightened, as the author of Mark tells us that Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome were. Frightened right into silence. An absent body, a stranger who seemed to know why they were there, and urged them to go tell this absurd tale about a dead person being raised and planning to meet back up in home territory. Only Mark ends this way, with an empty tomb, an affirmation that Jesus has risen, the instruction to go and tell, and fear, amazement, and silence. Knowing the story as we do, this version can be quite unsatisfying to us, like a piece of music that does not resolve at the end. It leaves us itching to find that final note. As a commentator I read years ago, but whose name I forgot to write down, put it like this: it's like the ending of Barber's Adagio in G, or the Beatles' She Loves You. It's like leaving the last syllable off of our opening hymn, that great Alleluia, and singing Alleluia. It's difficult for us. We want things to resolve. We want order and endings that make sense. Christians in the early centuries felt the same human need for endings, and they felt the same way about the Gospel of Mark. So they supplied extra endings to fill out the story. Endings in which Jesus appears, commissions the disciples, and is eventually taken up into heaven. Story all tied up with a bow. But those came later. The earliest manuscripts end where our reading for the day ended, in fear and silence. I read this again and again during the whole season of Lent, and I have to tell you, I was very tempted to rely instead on John's version of the Easter story, the version I love the best, where Mary Magdalene stands weeping at the empty tomb and is reassured by angels, and then, still in the fugue state of traumatic grief, saw a man in the garden and pleaded with him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And the man said to her, "Mary." And she saw that it was Jesus. I love the tenderness of Jesus calling her by her name and bringing her out of her confused grief, the joy of recognition, the fulfillment of the promise. But Mark kept whispering to me that for this year, when we are facing a long, painful, contentious political campaign, when even talking about racial justice has become suspect, when women's health choices and the health care and access and privacy rights for transgender people are threatened, right now, right this minute, when American taxes are paying for weapons being used to bomb civilians in Gaza, right now, we know that in this life, final, satisfying endings can be elusive. The promise he has been raised and is going to Galilee exists side by side with the question, why are the women not ready to rejoice? Why are they silent? Now, over the centuries, some scholars have accused the Gospel of Mark of being less sophisticated than the other Gospels, written in a less polished and advanced Greek, abrupt and unskilled. But others have pointed out that it wasn't written to be read silently off the page alone, but to be read aloud in community and all at one go, the whole gospel at one sitting. And if it is presented that way, that final sentence, which in Greek practically ends mid-sentence, in Greek it's something more like, they said nothing to anyone for fear. It's not rough and unpolished. It is not a rough and unpolished mistake. It's a narrative strategy. Perhaps it was like this. Again, this is notes from an unknown commentator. According to reliable sources, the composer Franz Liszt's wife was often irritated by his habit of sleeping late when she was already up and hard at work in the kitchen doing chores. So to get him out of bed, she would play loudly the first seven notes of a scale on the piano, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And then she would go back to the kitchen to finish cooking breakfast. Apparently, he could not ignore the silence, filled as it was with the absence of the last note. He was compelled to get up, go downstairs, and play the last note out loud, do. Then he was up for the day, and she had done her job. There is something in many of us, maybe all of us, not just composers, that craves resolution, that sense of wholeness and completion. It's possible that this is what Mark was doing, telling the story of Easter with the ending left off on purpose, so that, just like Franz Liszt, the readers and hearers would have to seek the ending. The Gospel of Mark opens with the words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it ends by not ending, because the whole gospel, the whole book, is just the beginning. And the rest, the ongoing presence of the risen Christ in the world, is still taking place. Here is the good news of today's gospel. Now, while it is still dark in Myanmar, while it is still night in Gaza and Haiti and Sudan, now while racial justice is still eluding us in America, now while it is still dark, resurrection is still true. Resurrection is still happening, and Christ is going ahead of us, making a way for us and beckoning us to both follow and tell what we know. The story of Easter reassures us that hope is stronger than despair. Love is stronger than hate. Life is stronger than death. And that with God, nothing is impossible. God is with us in every human moment. Our fear and wonder can coexist with our joy. The story has not ended, and it is always starting anew in us. Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia, amen.
Listen, listen, listen.